Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti, and my good friend Stephen Garchar is at a remote location at this point. Hello?
Hello, Phil. Can you hear me?
There he is.
Hey, the satellite worked.
Yes, he's doing the first Gift of Grace show from the surface of the moon.
Yeah.
And we've never tried that before.
Can't tell anybody where I'm at, man.
Yeah, so Steve's going to be joining us from a remote location. And we spent the last 3 weeks, I think, talking about John chapter 10, and about us being the sheep who hear the voice of the true shepherd, and how the true shepherd leads us out and does good things for us. And we know that Jesus also said that there were other people that would try to get at the sheep, who would try to come in different entrances or over the fence, and they were false shepherds. They were robbers and thieves and marauders, and the sheep shouldn't listen to their voices. And it's the last few, well, I don't know, probably I speak for both of us because Steve and I talk a lot, but over the last few months, the Lord's really been laying on our heart this idea of there's true shepherds and there's false shepherds. And we're living at a time where people are being bombarded by different voices.
Right.
And voices of, you know, not even 58 or 69 or 74, but like thousands of different voices telling people what the truth is, what the way is, you know, what the way to salvation is, if there even is a salvation, or maybe everybody is saved, or, you know, any combination of things. And
right.
The teachers, and this has been a very big thing in my mind for a long time now, is the idea that God had put watchmen on the walls. You know, Isaiah 62 says, I put watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. And, you know, in those ancient cities, the watchmen looked out for enemies, looked out for what was going on outside of the walls of a city, and warned people when an enemy was coming or something was going to happen. And we've pointed out quite a few times, I think, on our show that in our time, a lot of the watchmen have gone to sleep. And not only has the enemy approached, but they haven't even had to climb over the walls. They've basically just come through the gate.
Exactly.
And we can see that in the churches, and we can see that in society in general. We can see that in groups of people, no matter where they congregate. And it's a time, you know, I'm going to read a scripture because I don't want Steve to read it because he's, I think, might be driving at this point. But Steve, if you want to go ahead and add something first.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, we you know, the last couple of weeks we've talked about hearing the shepherd's voice, recognizing the shepherd's voice, and just how many voices we actually do hear out there in our culture today that want to challenge us and challenge our Judeo-Christian values. And not just that it's a challenge to a way of life, it's a challenge to the truth that God has established sovereignly over all of creation, over his creation.
Yes.
And it's a subtle chipping away. If you look at where our culture was 5 years ago to where we are today, and it's amazing that, you know, sometimes we don't do this. We really don't look back and see, okay, where were we a couple weeks ago? Where were we a couple months ago?
Mm-hmm.
And then we tend to forget very easily what happened last year or the year before. And one thing spiritually is that if we want to grow spiritually in our relationship with God, journaling is a great way to do that, because when God speaks to us and we journal, you know, we have a prayer time and we listen to the voice of God and we hear, you know, we get a thought and we write that down. And if you go back and look at those things, you're going to see how God is leading you and how he's guiding you.
Mm-hmm.
And without that, without any of that, we will be led astray because our memories are really not that great.
Yes.
You know, and because we're bombarded with so many different things and so many different voices and all the media tools that we have nowadays,
mm-hmm.
Just to have news and information at the tip of our fingers in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something can happen across the globe and it's on Facebook, on Twitter, it's right there.
Yes.
Right there before us.
Yes.
And so, how do you decipher through all that? How do you know who's telling the truth? How do you know who isn't telling the truth?
Yes.
And having a foundation of the, you know, an understanding of the early church, what the early church fathers taught and how they understood, and the apostles and what they understood and how they understood the mystery of the Passover and the mystery of the cross and the resurrection mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ is essential to being rooted in our faith and in our relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen. And that's, yeah. that really hits it on the head, because you have knowledge of God's word is at a pretty low level, right, these days.
There's yeah.
Even, you and I both spend a lot of time in churches, you know, with you doing music and I doing music. No, wait a minute. I don't do music, but we both spend a lot of time in churches and in a lot of different discussion groups and services and teaching places. And I am always amazed where you say something like, well, as you all know from this gospel or this passage or this epistle or this, you know, part of the Old Testament, you know, we all know that. And then you say something and then you look around at blank faces and you realize they don't have any idea what I'm talking about. And
right.
If you have a basic knowledge of the scripture, you see how the plan of salvation unfolds through the whole scripture. And
right.
we talk commonly about the road to Emmaus, and you know, we jokingly, and we have some good laughs with saying it was, you know, best Bible study ever done, and too bad they didn't write a book, or too bad they didn't, too bad they didn't record it. But it was a great Bible study. But it says that starting with Moses and the prophets, Jesus explained how everything referred to him, pointed out all the things in the law and the prophets that were about him. And
right.
it took them walking 7 miles for him to explain, you know, the highlights of that to these mm-hmm. guys. Jesus didn't say, well, if you really want to know about the Messiah, you just, you know, wait a few years, because I've got some people coming that are going to write some books and they're going to explain it to you. And
right.
it's going to be great. You know, if you wait for these gospels and letters to be written, you know, just give it another 40, 50 years or so. You'll have all the information. Well, no, he said the information is already here of these things in the Old Testament, the Tanakh, pointing to Messiah. And how come you're so slow of heart to understand this? How come you
right.
guys don't get this? You heard mm-hmm. these readings over and over again every week your whole life. And if you were even paying half attention, you should know that this is talking about Messiah. And
right.
they were so blown away by this, they didn't want it to end. And, you know, we're not going to do the
right.
whole story, but Jesus showed them, you know, from the word, how you can get the truth. Now, if you don't know
right.
the word, you can't get the truth. And
right.
if you know the word as your solid foundation, as you mentioned, and you know that that's truth with a capital T, when you hear something counterfeit to that, you immediately should say, well, that's wrong.
Right.
When you don't know it, and somebody says something, you say, well, that's an interesting thought. I never thought about that. Wow, maybe he's right. Yeah, man, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Go ahead.
You know, one of the things, if I can add, is that when you're talking about the disciples on the road to Emmaus and how Jesus walked with them,
mm-hmm.
when Jesus chose his disciples, he invited them to come and follow him.
Yeah.
And they would ask him, where are you staying? Because they were students of his. He was their teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that, you know, the way that the faith was handed on was that the student lived with or was in the presence of the teacher all the time.
Yes. Yes.
And so it's even true, you know, vocally, how people would learn music in Italy is a good example, is a student would just train with a teacher or an instructor, and for a couple of years they would just do what's called vocalizing. They wouldn't really sing songs. They would just sing vowel sounds and do, you know, exercises before they even sang a song.
Wow.
So that the foundation was deeply rooted in them.
I've never done that, I must say.
If you haven't, then you try one of these things. But spiritually, if we don't have something like that, where we have a spiritual director, a person of spiritual maturity who can help us on the way, then we're kind of at a disadvantage, because there's a lot, you know, growing spiritually takes discipline, mm-hmm. just like anything else.
Yes.
And
yes,
a good spiritual director is disciplined not to be distracted by this bright light over here, or this flashy little glittery thing over there, or this little, listen to that over there. Wow, that sounds really good. They're disciplined in that way. And when a person gets closer to God, because you're approaching the holiness of God, the sin that's in your life becomes magnified,
mm-hmm.
because you see the holiness of God and you see the darkness of the sin,
yes.
or the ugliness of the sin.
Yes.
And before, when if you were walking just by yourself and you weren't walking with the Lord, your sin didn't matter to you.
Yeah.
But if you go closer to that light, the holiness of God, your sin becomes magnified, and you start to see, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you know where you stand.
Exactly. And that's missing in our culture today.
Yes.
That's missing in our world today.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned that, because when I was driving over here tonight, I was thinking of this scripture that I hadn't made any notes on or anything, but we usually talk about how the world today is kind of like the second half of Romans chapter 1. And whenever somebody tells me some outrageous thing that's going on somewhere on Facebook or by email, I always answer, well, read Romans chapter 1, the second half of it, and you'll get why this is going on. But there's a...
exactly.
Yeah, but there's a... how things have changed, like you just mentioned, you know, you think nowadays, you think very highly of yourself, and you think very highly of your situation, and you think very highly of your abilities and your independence and your intellect, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. And it kind of reminded me today when I was driving over here, when Paul writes, you know, he writes two letters to Timothy, who was a very young man in the faith that Paul met and led to the Lord in one of his ministries. I think it was in Lystra, but he became kind of a mentor to Timothy. He always called him my son, even though he wasn't, of course, his biological son. But in 2 Timothy 3, starting at the beginning of the chapter, he writes, "But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. And man,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is unbelievable. Lovers of ourselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful. It's pretty much how everybody talks now in their day-to-day life. It's pretty much
right.
The reaction you get now when you try witnessing to someone, you try evangelizing a group of people. And it's not just young people. Even, you know, people who have had some kind of foundation at some point. But, you know, like we commonly say, if you're under the age now of about, I don't know, late 30s or 40, you really had never gotten much of a foundation growing up. And you're a lover of pleasure and you think you can do whatever you want and everything is right. Who's to say if there's anything wrong? There's no such thing as evil. And these are people that Paul says, turn away from them. Because these are the people that are going to be lost, because he adds in verse 6 that these people make their way, he says they creep into households.
Yeah.
You know, now, you know, he's talking about they physically show up and talk to you. Now it's a matter of, you know, talking to you on TV and on the internet, you know, with the social media and everything. And it says, you know, they come and they kind of impart to you various lusts. Well, I kind of like that. Ooh, you know, I should do more of that. Oh, why wasn't I doing that before? And you have to resist these people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this has become sort of the, even in churches, this has become a ground where the teachers are saying, well, you know, who's to say, who are we to say, if you think that, well, you know, we don't want you to think that you're wrong and we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but yeah, you know, they probably got a little carried away with this, before, but now we're much more enlightened.
Yeah. Yeah. They tend to shy away from telling somebody the truth of what God has established. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about how, you know, the devil always attacks the word of God. But now it's gone far beyond that, where now he's attacking the individual person.
Yes.
And telling them that, you know, you're not who you think you are.
Yes.
Just because your birth certificate says that doesn't mean you have to be stigmatized by that. How dare that medical professional tell you that you're a male or a female?
Yeah.
You choose for yourself. As you know best.
Yeah.
I mean, what a lie from Satan.
Yes.
And people are falling for it, hook, line, and sinker, every day.
Yes. And he even points out at that thing that there's even a form of godliness, but without power. You know, oh, well, God loves everyone, which is true. So that's the kernel of truth that a lot of these lies are constructed from. Well, God does, in fact, love everybody. But now it's, well, the God I believe in loves everyone, so he would never condemn anybody to hell. The God I believe in would never say, that's not right, or this is evil, or...
Mm-hmm.
Because it's where, you know, we have the moral relativism.
Yeah.
And the despisers of good, you know, we always talk about Isaiah 5, where, you know, woe to you if you replace... light with darkness and darkness with light, you know, good with evil and evil with good. Because now things that are good are despised.
Right.
Things that are inherently evil based on a Judeo-Christian tradition that goes back to Abraham are considered, you know, that's all old, corny, old-fashioned stuff. We got new stuff now.
Right.
Okay, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that I'll think about it.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it was something that when you were saying, I'll think of it. But go ahead.
Yeah, but and so this is the climate of today. Just like in Romans 1, where he writes, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have very wise people saying, well, you know, gender is all in your mind. You can be whatever gender you want. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there's lots of genders. And I always say, well, name me more than two. what if there's 38 different genders or 50 different genders, tell me what some of them are. I mean, you know, they profess themselves to be wise and they're inherently foolish. Because
and if you say something against it.
Oh, yeah.
If you say something against it, you quickly will see that there's, you know, the big word, the big buzzword is tolerance.
Yeah.
There's no tolerance if you don't agree with this nonsense.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And one of the other words in that description is brutal. And boy, we've seen that in recent years.
Right.
You can't even have a logical discussion anymore because it breaks down into a conflict of words and sometimes physical conflict.
Yeah.
Where it is brutal.
Yeah, and in the letter to the Galatians, where Paul lists the things of the flesh.
Yes.
But he also lists things, you know, when the Spirit is there, when the Holy Spirit is there, there's love, joy, peace,
yes,
patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control.
Yeah.
Without those things, if you don't have those things, then you're being controlled by the flesh, and you're an easy target for Satan to use you.
Exactly. I mean, Paul talks so much through all his letters about the flesh and the spirit being in conflict. And, you know, we're new creations now. Our old self was crucified with Jesus.
Right.
We're new creations. We live in him now, and he lives in us now, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us. So if we live our lives according to the Spirit and we walk according to the Spirit, we have the fruits of the Spirit. If you live your life with the flesh, you know, he points out in that same passage in Galatians, he shows the contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. Because the flesh will work out its own pleasures. The flesh will work out. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do.
Yeah.
And if you give into it at every turn, if you're living a totally unrepentant life and give in at every turn, that's going to be your life. But if you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to have a different life. You're not going to be mastered by that.
Right.
You still are going to sin from time to time, but you're not going to be mastered by it.
Right. And there, you know, and therein lies maturity in the Spirit and not giving in to the temptations of the flesh and to the world that are going to help you grow as a Christian. Because, you know, we talk about false shepherds, but the sheep have to be able to recognize truth from error.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be able to recognize light from darkness.
Yes.
If they can't, then they're helpless.
Yes.
Then they're helpless.
Yes.
And the body of Christ can be so fractured. You know, there's a lot of things that go on in our culture and our society where people sin. They do egregious things to other people. And the main thing is, that's mankind. That's the fallen nature of mankind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the cross and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is still valid, even when that stuff
yes,
happens.
Yes, exactly.
Because within that, within his death and resurrection, is the mercy and the love for not only my salvation, but for the forgiveness of another person who has wronged somebody, to, no matter to what degree.
Wow. That's awesome. That, the music's already on.
Oh.
Now, you're going to be here next week, right?
I will, I promise.
Yeah, so let's remember where you left off, because we need to pick
no
up on that.
Okay.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would, in your walk with the Lord, that you would take the time to pray and to listen to the Lord, to journal, and to see where God is leading and guiding your heart. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.